I'll be there. Around every corner, in every empty room. As inevitable as your guilty conscience.
I don't like this. This stinks.
Hi, folks. For the 260th time, I would like to welcome you to another edition of This Week in Mormons, the premier Mormon news and issues podcast. Pew, pew, pew. Unrivaled in pew. The community. I challenge you to find a better production regarding Mormon stuff. And if you do find it, we will reimburse you the cost of downloading this podcast.
I don't commit to that. What if they download it in Berlin on their cell network?
Oh, as long as it's not an overage, I'm okay.
Gigabytes of data.
Gigabytes. Jeff. Binders
we will,
full
we will
of
refund
binders
nothing.
Full of data.
I have binders of women. How did that happen again?
Because
How
Mitt did... Romney is a wonderful man, but a delightfully gaffed
because
prone
in,
politician.
As he's talking, you know what he's trying to say, and he's like, you're just like, no.
All I have to be is like, yeah, I'm very progressive about having women in the workplace. I think they have a great view. No, look at me. We have binders full of, oh, I missed 2012. What a great time that was.
Is he going to run again? I know we talked about this before, but like we keep hearing. I feel like he's dropping hints to see.
Now the rumor in the past week has been that he will run like purposefully to highlight his Mormonism, as if he's like doing a duty to the church or something.
To God and his country. No,
and
I
to
remember
obey
us all making a pact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to
Akira.
You have to obey the law of the pack.
I believe that's Akira that is asking that of us as our bear to wolf bobcat.
I was a dynamite Weeblow. I'll tell you that.
I bet, dude. Oh. We be loyal scouts.
It's a
Weeblows.
Isn't it a great acronym? Well, sort of acronym. What's that?
Yeah. You never know what a Weeblow is.
I guess Weeblow is technically a portmanteau. I guess.
What?
A portmanteau is a French word that means when you combine different words together and make a new word. Like if I
you
were to
mean-
say.
What?
It's a no. I could spell it out for you. P O R T.
No. I believe you. I believe you. I'm just saying. I thought that was being called a wordsmith. I do this all the time. Make up new words.
No, you combine two or more separate aspects or qualities. I'm trying to think of any popular ones in the English language that we use.
You have the most random vocabulary just sitting up
there. I've studied writing.
Like, you're a bizarre man.
Like a great version of it, for example. Dramedy. You're combining the words drama and comedy. Cosplay.
That is not a great example. That is a horrible example.
I'm looking at Wikipedia's entry. Jazzercise, for example. We combine jazz and exercise. Or Al's favorite one, literotica. Combining literature and erotica.
Yeah, no, that's every day on Google.
I understand that you will be watching 50 Shades of Grey when you are in Hawaii. Lining up for that holy
I couldn't
endeavor.
Bring myself to see Lone Survivor or The Sniper, but I will be seeing 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah, absolutely.
It looks awful. Oh, here's one. Nintendogs from Nintendo and dogs.
Who are Nintendogs?
I have no idea. Oh, I clicked on it. Apparently, it's a game. It's a game for the Nintendo DS released in 2005.
Or the famous basketballs. Taking baskets.
Anyways, anytime you put stuff together like that, that's what a portmanteau is. I mean, like Sharknado is a portmanteau. Even the word sitcom is one of those. Situation comedy. Sitcom.
Yeah, no. I follow you. And I know those words are out there. I just didn't know they had a French word for them.
There are French words for lots of things.
Not expect you to know that French word.
Well, I know things, and
I feel like. Well, I just feel like if we went on a Team Jeopardy challenge,
yes,
I would want you. Like you wouldn't be the leader of the group, but you'd be like our right wing defender.
I would kill it if this were like Masters of the Maze. That was a great show. Oh,
great yes. show,
Masters great of show. The Maze. I used to watch kids' game shows growing up, and I'd get angry yelling at the screen at how dumb the children were, honestly.
This is why you're the way you are. It's fine.
Especially on Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, which was a delightful program educational, useful. And when those kids would get to the final map and couldn't place their little siren stick onto Guinea-Bissau, I would say, how do you not know where Guinea-Bissau is, you foolish mortals? What is wrong with you? And I had tried to be on that show, and only New York City school district children were eligible.
No, no, no. We've heard the story before.
I know.
We've heard this all.
I'm still so bitter. I'm so bitter about it. I'm going to sue them. I will sue everyone. I'm suing PBS, everyone.
You bitter, bitter man.
I'm very litigious. The portmanteau of the words litigate and us.
Anyway, how's your week been, dude? How you been?
Delightful. I dined on Cafe Rio this evening, which, like any good Mormon should do, was wonderful. And
why is that a Mormon thing? Just because it was out of Utah?
Probably, but I will say that there's actually, a lot of people don't know this, there's a lot of Cafe Rio in D.C. Cafe Rio is pretty much just in the West, where you've seen it, but then they leaped all the way over here to D.C., and I think because of the Mormon population out here.
They leaped.
And there are a number of them, and I have never been to the Cafe Rio that's closest to us and not seen Mormons that I knew, or like ones who were obviously Mormons, like missionaries or people who are clearly coming back from the temple, stuff like that. But they're always Mormons. Always. Without fail.
That's how they get you.
Tonight, tonight, who did I run into? My ward executive clerk. There he was with his family.
At the Mormon establishment. Always. So it's sort of the Princess Bride, but of cafes.
I'll take it a step higher. It's actually the Princess Cruise line of cafes. It's just quality.
No, Princess Bride meaning all Mormons have seen that.
I'm not.
It could be the Princess Cruise line.
I see where you're going with this now. I understand.
Yeah, no, I mean, I liked yours too. The Royal Caribbean of cafes.
No. It's like the Holland America. We got to go classier.
Celebrity X Cruise Line.
Is it classy
lines?
Enough? Anyway, it's been just a fine week. We had this missionary open house sort of thing at our building. The building I actually posted this.
I kind of hate those.
I posted this on our Facebook page. The building I go to church at is 60 years old, so it's one of the older ones in the
D.C. region.
They're
always weird. They're weird, those things.
I agree. And I support it because I support what we're trying to do. As a member of the ward council, of course, I was involved trying to do our best. So part of this wasn't just to have a general missionary open house. It was sort of a broader open house of saying, hey, this building's been here for 60 years. Our building has a lot of character. It's very specially colonially designed. It had to get approved by Salt Lake back in the day for its architecture and the inside and the outside, everything we did with it. So there's a history there. And part of that was to say, hey, we've been in the community for a long time. I did feel like there were some missed opportunities there, though, because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you walked in, there were a bunch of people in the foyer, like way too many greeting you. And then you just go in the cultural hall and there were some sort of booths kind of sitting there. Like we had one that just said Book of Mormon, and it just like pieces of paper printed up that said Book of Mormon, and then a table with copies of the Book of Mormon on it. I thought maybe like a diorama.
What could you have done to have made one of those goofy open house things? What could another church do that would make you want to go into their open house?
I think what we could have at least done at ours, specifically for ours, is I don't believe they were running tours. And I know it's just a meeting house, but because there is more interesting history in our building compared to most, it's a good opportunity to explain to people what we actually do in our building and what Mormons do with their time on Sundays. Or even if it wasn't a guided tour, have the station set up in some of the rooms around the church and have self-guided tours, you know, with a map so people can go to stations around the building and learn more about what we do. Instead, they had some nice, great musical numbers in the chapel, and the next to it, the cultural hall, was just kind of a free-for-all that felt like going to a job fair in high school or something like that. So it was good, and I'm thankful to everyone who put a lot of time into it. Our ward specialized in cleaning the building, so we wouldn't have to do anything else in the moment.
That's smart.
Yeah. But I did feel like there were some missed opportunities, but whatever. It was still fine. We ducked in for 20-odd minutes or something and then just said, okay, not a lot going on. Going back home. It's going to be good. So anyway, that's all. That was fun.
Well, that's exciting.
I don't know. I mean, are these common? Have you ever done these? I don't know if those of you listening have done similar ones.
I've done it before. I never, like...
But was it a missionary? Because ours was not explicitly a missionary open house. It sort of was. It was sort of a broader, just, hey, we're in the community open house.
Our church suffers from a chronic, it worked in one ward, so it's going to work in every ward. Let's do it exactly like they did syndrome. And so I would suspect that at some point, somebody somewhere did an open house, and it was probably a really good idea, and they did it really well.
Yeah.
And now everybody is like, how can we do missionary work on open house? So like, I'm trying to think of what would, you know, if a Methodist church here down the street did an open house and offered brownies.
And what would get you to actually go and care?
Yeah. I would not go. I would not care, especially if I went and then they had a big room with information booths set up all around. I'm not going to give up my evening to go and look around at that thing. I don't care.
Yeah, because most people don't.
So let's be creative. Let's come up with other ways of community outreach and supporting those around us.
Yeah. It's hard because, because that's what I was thinking too going into it. I was just like, who's going to come to this? Like, realistically, who's going to say, hey, guys, hey, honey, did you hear the Mormons are having an open house at their building? You know what we should do this Sunday night? Which, thankfully, there was no football game. But you know what we should do this Sunday night? Head on down there, see what it's all about. I mean, like, well, maybe. I know we had some non-members there, so that's great. But
yeah,
I don't know. How's High Council land?
Crazy. Weird.
Fun. I don't think you talked about it much last week, actually. So I think our listeners are anxious.
Yeah.
For
well, let's not talk about it a whole lot. I mean, we.
Okay.
I don't feel like there's any value in promoting a calling here.
I just mean takeaways you've had.
I'm clearly a buffoon in this world of like callings that need you to be a grown up. Not prepared for this and not 100% sure I'm succeeding. I'm doing my best here.
You're a couple of weeks in. I think it's okay. You don't have to have it all figured out yet.
No, one I don't anticipate that I do. I'm enjoying my time. I do not love waking up at 5 a.m. on a Sunday. It's not my favorite way to spend. The Lord has asked a lot of me here. This is my big sacrifice, which honestly, take it. Yeah. You can take my 5 a.m. He's asked very little of me over the last 5 years. I feel like, I can give a little early morning Sunday action. So, but yeah, so that's, it does. What's cool about it though, is it lets me just sort of roam. And I got some great quotes. I was up in one of our, we have a branch, the Trenton branch, up to the north of us. It's almost to the Iowa border. In fact, that branch goes all the way to the Iowa border. And there's an Amish group up towards that way, and there was a coyote hunt over the weekend. And pictures were shared, and stories were regaled of cruising around with the Amish and hunting coyotes. It's quite entertaining for me. I was entertained. And it smelled like firewood, which was very comforting. It was sort of a colicky feeling. Being in there and smelling the wood smoke, I said, yes, I like this branch.
Do they have a fireplace or something? Why does it smell?
Everybody did at home, and then they all come to a chapel for 3 hours, and then they go back to it. And I said, yes, thank you. Like, I'm in. Absolutely, I'm in. It was awesome. And I'm getting, like, I never drive anywhere really. Like, all my work stuff is at home on the computer. So I haven't got, I'm so caught up on my podcasts now. I've got a book on tape, The New Tennis Shoes Among the Nephites, that I'm suffering through.
Yes.
Like, I'm doing all these.
Why are you, listening to
Chris
that?
Chris Heimerdinger, for like he had a heyday when I was a child. He was great. Now I feel like he's just trying.
Are you honestly listening to that just for fun?
Yes, yes.
Is this a dare?
Yes, I am.
Or why are you?
No, well, I loved the books as a kid, like the first 85 so, Tennis Shoes Among the Nephites. So until now, they're on their great great grandchildren, still hooking up and getting together with weird Romans and anti Nephi Lehis. And
oh, nice.
And I just don't like. I don't know. It's not his finest literature.
Why has that not yet been developed as a young adult film series? If we can get Percy Jackson and the Olympians, why don't we have
it? Has been. Haven't they tried?
I think you're right, actually.
They've tried, and it had all of the support of the Book of Mormon, the movie, with their crazy draped costuming and weird stuff like that. No. It's quite entertaining. So anyway,
I wish we could do like a TWIM hangout with everybody and just watch the Book of Mormon movie. Like everybody just gather together.
Is it on YouTube? We could do this.
I don't know. I found it once in Spanish on YouTube.
Awesome. We'll find it, people. Join me and Jeff as we watch. You love your terrible Mormon cinema.
I really do. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't think it's from working at Deseret Book. I think I just like, I appreciate terrible cinema. And terrible Mormon cinema is such a special little subcategory.
Also, it's been bizarre this week. You've been reposting some of our old articles for the site.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I find myself, like, I'm all of a sudden having these weird arguments with people, and I wasn't sure, I wasn't prepared for it.
Sorry.
Like, my comebacks are, like, I haven't even read my own article in, like, 3 years, and I'm like, no, you're just an idiot. You're dumb. You commenter. So we did, we went back over the era of the church school is gone.
Yes.
Or is past, where I argue that BYUs should all be abolished, and all that money should go into institute programs.
Yes.
And send all the people back to their local congregations to strengthen and build up there, to promote the gospel.
It's a compelling argument. I understand people coming after you, but I think we all come after the idea already thinking of, look how great BYU is and what it does. But if you removed that completely from the argument and just said, no, say there is no BYU, where would all of the saints
in
California go?
I feel like all of the arguments ever used, right? Oh, but the football program or the athletics. Really, the football program? Do we not see that brawl this year and sort of the embarrassment that the BYU football is and the fact that they cannot figure out how to win? Like, that's not – I don't feel like that's making a great
name.
It's
not about winning. It's about
– even if we lose in dramatic fashion on ESPN and then beat up the other team, I still don't feel like that's making a good name for Jesus.
What about when we win our last game of the season and rejoice in the locker room in such an ecstatic manner that you would think we just won the BCS championship?
But we didn't. We just won a game.
But you get Bronco on someone's shoulders pumping up in his hands in the air just for winning the last game of the year. I feel like that speaks.
I mean, and there was a comment today about, like, he's like, we have a great accounting program. I'm like, well, if accounting didn't suck so bad, that would actually be worth.
I'm not going to knock accounting. Accounting is a pretty good, stable career path, honestly. So to all you accountants
out there. Yeah, for boring people.
Hey, good for them. If you're happy just looking at numbers and balancing spreadsheets, then good for you.
No, accounting is the worst. When I went to college, I had every game on my phone renamed to Accounting 101, Accounting 102, Accounting 103. That was Free Cell, Spider Solitaire. I mean, it was the most boring subject you could possibly conjure up.
Okay.
Debits and credits? No, not fun.
Not fun at all. I'm very, very
tax scared. Strategy? Don't care.
But see,
still boring.
Other schools also have great programs. You know, what if everybody who just lives somewhere, you know, I don't know. I think there are merits to what you're proposing. It'll never happen. But it's
so anyway, these just kind of came out randomly. And it all started when you reshared the Rated R movie discussion.
Oh, my goodness. It's just because we were talking about it, last week because of all the American Sniper stuff. And it was even bigger this year. I kid you not. It had far more views and interaction a year later than it did a year ago when we first.
Are you going to go see American Sniper?
I will not. I enjoy, as a box office tracking enthusiast, I very much am enjoying watching its meteoric rise to the top of the charts. But as far as the movie itself, I don't care.
You don't care?
It might gun for highest grossing R-rated movie ever.
Really?
That title is held by the Passion.
Something About Mary?
No, it's held by the Passion of the Christ, actually.
No, for real?
Yeah. I only mean domestically. The Passion of the Christ made about $370 million domestically when it came out. I don't know what that would be adjusted for inflation, but there you go.
Huh.
So it could potentially beat that. That's a big deal.
Finally. Good.
I'd look it up about the inflation, but I don't care.
All right, so lots of Mormon stuff going on this week, by the way.
Well, sure.
A few.
Things are happening.
First, there was the mysterious news conference.
Oh, yes, there was.
Yes. They said, we're having a news conference. We're not telling you anything about it. Then they said, we're having a news conference about religious freedom and good stuff.
And no anti-discrimination. This was such a tease. This was a bigger tease than the whole blizzard that was supposed to take over the Northeast the other day. Just such a tease. All this buildup for nothing. Okay, not for nothing. But when the newsroom tweets out, it's like 6 a.m. Mountain Time. By the by, church leaders are having a news conference today. We don't do those very often. So you start thinking, well, what is going on?
Now, I'm a fan of anti-discrimination. I'm battling a little letter to the editor campaign going against Mormons here in my small town in Missouri currently.
Yes.
It's no fun to be discriminated against or have the people with whom you identify marginalized by some bigoted woman.
Oh, is it a woman?
It is Kathy somebody.
Okay.
Oh, that lady.
Okay.
Kathy. So yeah, like a good gesture, right? This was a good gesture. The sentiment here is we are for rights, for gay and lesbian couples. We are also for religious freedom. We'd like those to somehow live together harmoniously.
Yes. I guess that's a good way to sum it up. Yeah.
The way this is interpreted by some is we like being able to be a little bit bigoted or prejudice, and our religious freedom protects that. That was the New York Times interpretation of it. I didn't watch the news conference.
Uh-huh.
I got bored with it very fast. But I have read the snippets, the little highlights and stuff. I do like this makes me the worst person to report on this, but Jeff.
Yes.
I like the gesture. I like the idea that that we're trying to figure something out. I feel like that's long overdue. I like that that it's going in a direction of the church advocating for some of the protections. So there's things which I didn't know this was a thing, but in like what were the you read to me earlier? It was
The main protections, the big deal here,
housing, yeah, employment, public transportation, things like that.
Eating, stuff like that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, when you stop at a hotel, we don't want anybody discriminating on who can stay in their hotel based on your sexual orientation, which, good for you, church.
Yeah, and some of this, of course, coincides with the opening of Utah's legislative session, but these remarks are aimed at, you know, the entire nation, everything that's going on. And plenty of states don't have laws that protect the LGBT population in ways like this, but it's this really fine line because, like they say, they want to protect those communities in those particular areas, but while still ensuring that religious freedom will not be compromised. And you'll notice, basically, gay marriage is not uttered like anywhere in this. It's just not part of it. Because, of course, the church doesn't support gay marriage, so they're not even talking about it. We're just kind of glazing right over that one little kind of major part of things. And that's why you see things like a lot of publications have said, you know, the Mormon church wants to protect the gay community with one rather serious exception. And it's all, you can interpret this however you want. And I think it's very interesting though.
Now, one of the things that they did go into is the, with the religious freedom, they feel like that should be extended to church owned. How did they say it? Church owned businesses.
Elder Holland said this. Yeah. He talked about church owned businesses or entities that are directly related to the purposes and functions of the church, that they must have the same latitude in employment standards and practices as the church itself.
So essentially, not be required to have or to be impartial in their hiring based on sexual orientation and things of that nature, right?
I don't know. Like, would Deseret, a good example, like Al, you and I were talking, maybe like Deseret Book. Deseret Book's a for-profit corporation, but it is owned by the, I think this would fall along these lines pretty well. Does Deseret Book have rules where they don't hire gay people? Even if you're a worthy sort of, whatever that would be, a celibate gay Mormon? I don't know if they have those rules, or do they have other rules, like they want to deny birth control. The church doesn't provide birth control in its health care plans. And it is, even though, which is totally screwy to me because I'm not knocking Catholics.
We don't care about
we're not Catholics. Birth control is a personal choice, so why not? I think it's a lot of stuff like that, and it's trying to reach beyond the...
Because there's some entities in the church, for-profit, sort of for-profit, but their business...
Deseret Holdings, basically. Pretty much all of Deseret Holdings, I guess you would say. If the, but yeah, Deseret, so he's looking, is Deseret Holdings, though, directly related? Is the church's real estate arm that owns City Creek, does that fall under directly related to the purposes and functions of the church?
Well, what would the purpose be in discriminating in your hiring practices on those?
None that I could see, other than trying
to... I couldn't see any advantage either. I could see it like... I don't know.
I mean, I think that
at some point the church is going to have to, we're going to have to figure out how this all fits. And it's going to, it really is going to err on the side of acceptance and love slash supporting. I don't know how that looks while maintaining religious freedom. So this last week was the Proclamation of the Family's 20th anniversary.
Oh, okay. Right? I didn't know that. Okay.
I mean, that's 20 years ago, 1995. This is before any of the, like, I mean, when none of these statements were revolutionary. I remember hearing it at the time being like, marriage between a man and a woman. And thanks for blowing my mind here, people.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, gender is eternal. We were man in heaven before we were men on earth and woman in heaven. Oh, boy, you're getting deep on me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just didn't care. It was so stupid to me.
Totally.
And now at this point, it's become this very controversial document. Could not have seen that coming. And, well, I guess some people could. But kind of a, I don't know how it all ends up. It's cool. I am grateful that the church is making moves and that they're saying, within the confines that we feel comfortable operating, we're going to do as much as we can to support and promote acceptance and tolerance for the gay and lesbian community. That's good.
It's completely good, and it's great for the church to the big deal with this is that the church has been on the record for a number of years, 5-6 years maybe now, trying to push for legal protections along these lines, but we haven't been super specific in what we've been going after. It's been just sort of broad overtures to just ensuring equal rights, basically. So for them to very specifically outline what we support and encourage is a big step. But the other big part of this entire conference, it seemed very defensive in many ways, where a lot of it seemed like, well, we support all this stuff. Hey, try to remember that at the same time, we're a religion and we're feeling picked on, that we're being denied our own freedom of expression and how we want to do things. And we are privy to that as well. Where's that Elder Oaks one that I wrote down? Elder Oaks said, it is one of today's great ironies that some people who have fought so hard for LGBT rights now try to deny the rights of others to disagree with their public policy proposals. And he prefaced that by saying churches should stand on at least as strong a footing as any other entity when they enter the public square to participate in public policy debates. So...
Huh.
And then he said, like, that's the great irony. But, and I'm with him on that. I just feel like it's so easy that this is so he said, she said. It's just all a matter of perception, because you could turn that up on its head and LGBT advocates could say it's one of today's great ironies that some people who fight so hard for religious freedom now try to deny the rights of others to disagree with their public policy proposals. Like, you could just cut, it's just cut and paste, right? Because both sides feel the exact same way. And I think it's very interesting that they tried to present these two sides as if they are diametrically opposed. That was the first thing that stuck out at me when Elder Christofferson said that we want to share with you our concerns about the increasing tension and polarization between advocates of religious freedom on the one hand and advocates of gay rights on the other. Now, I do believe there is tension there and there is a wide chasm to cross, but I think it's kind of interesting to really just like really pit those against one another. I don't know if it's that black and white, that cut and dry. You know, like, I support.
It makes for good snippets.
Well, it does. But for me, if it's an apostle up there talking about church policy, like, what's that telling me? You know, is that telling me if I support gay rights, I do not support religious freedom? Is that what I'm supposed to take away?
No, I don't think so.
Take away from that? So I just thought.
I wouldn't take that away at all.
Well, goody for you. Other interesting points here, though, is the church's right or individuals' right to express their religion as needs be. Elder Oaks referenced some of the stuff we've talked about here on the show in the past couple of years. First, there was, Peter Vidmar, who was going to lead the Olympic delegation to Sochi last year, had to step down because it, you know, this came to light that he had been active in the Prop 8 campaign. Likewise, remember last year when Mozilla's CEO stepped down because of Prop 8 stuff? El Roque cites these as examples, of course, of discrimination against people for exercising their
freedom.
And I think that's in many ways fair. And we've, I think especially the Mozilla guy.
No, it's not fair.
Yeah, we talked about.
We're saying it's not fair, Jeff.
I'm saying, no, what I'm saying is, sorry, it's not fair against them. I'm saying it's a very fair argument to say that they are being discriminated against for exercising their own freedom of expression to be as politically involved however they want.
Yeah, that stuff is downright criminal. Like, there's just no way that that should be. I mean, yeah. That's so disturbing to me that that stuff even happens, man.
I know.
It's
That's the unfortunate side of that that's messed up. I guess I just wonder where the line is, because Elder Holland sort of talked about how we believe that fertility doctors should not be required to perform insemination on for lesbian couples wanting kids, or people shouldn't be required to offer birth control if it conflicts with their beliefs. And I guess I don't fully know what my own opinion is on those matters when I really think about it. But the one thing that I do realize is that arguing about religious freedom from the perspective of a tax-exempt, ostensibly nonprofit religious entity incorporated as such, and arguing about religious freedom and right to discriminate accordingly as an individual or as a privately held business that is in no way subject to actual religious freedom exemptions, you know, those aren't necessarily the same thing. And I'm wondering if we're trying to sort of conflate the two. I don't know.
I do not know either.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, businesses will say, yeah, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. But just because my religion says one thing, but I'm not a church. I could, Al, you have your company. I mean, I don't know. Do you have a right to discriminate as you want to hire on certain things like that? You could hire or not hire people based on their incompetence or their ability to perform a job. But, you know, go ahead.
No, if they come in and they have, and they're gay or lesbian or black or white or Hindu or Christian, I don't feel I have any right to enter that in as criteria for them to be able to come into my company. Absolutely not.
And that's where I wonder where that balance then is supposed to be. Because if we're arguing that people have that freedom to not do things they're not comfortable with, how is that like the New York Times put it in their piece, and the New York Times one was very slanted, but it did say sort of replace LGBT with black or Jew or whatever else when we're describing this. It does make you look at it a different way, I guess. I felt like you had a thought, Al. I'm sorry. Did I take it away from you?
No, you're fine. Anyway, that was an exciting piece this morning. Very exciting.
It was fine. I was a little let down. I was like pumped up for some crazy big.
Because again, I feel like the church is making some preemptive moves now.
Yep, totally.
Especially with the Supreme Court ruling coming out soon, with the, I really would expect before June hits for them to change the process of temple marriages.
I was almost wondering if that was potentially going to be what we got today.
Going to be leaked. I see a lot of this happening, which really, I mean, it's all they can do. It's all we can do. I feel like me personally, I'm in such a weird spot with, I'm fine with gay marriage. I'm totally fine with it. Except for in a religious context, I am also for, the church's right to not perform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gay marriages and anything of that nature, which, I mean, puts you in kind of a weird bind, right? Like, I have a religion that's asking me to stand it one way, a religion in which I believe and I am very passionate about. And then I have a personal belief from a, like, what is fair sort of conversation that pushes me another way. And getting the two to reconcile is not always easy, people. It's not like I don't understand exactly how it all is supposed to fit yet.
I feel the same way, because one person's version of these are my beliefs and they're dear to me and they're important to me and I should be allowed to express them, it can be discrimination to the other person, and you flip it around. And I'm with you. I don't know. I mean, how do I don't think there's a perfect answer. I think we're trying to maybe draw some lines in the sand and try to get some kind of clarity about it, maybe, and have some sort of official way of doing things. But I still don't think there's any perfect way to demarcate this whole thing.
In other news, let's move on. We're going to go on to the church. They have a website. This is other big news out of the Mormon church.
Oh, I love this.
So there's an article in the Deseret News about LDS.org, and they say LDS.org is going to change over time.
No, come on, do that in your movie trailer voice.
LDS.org is changing.
There we go.
But not now, over time. No, so over the course of a while, like this is such a stupid article. Over the course of a while, they're going to make some changes. And the changes could be big, could be small. I don't know. No one can say, really. And so we're just going to wait and see what the changes could be. New changes we'll see will be in the My Account and Word Selector. What those could be, I don't know. New country and language selector? I don't know. And other navigational options? Great.
My account and Word. Yeah. The goofy thing here too is while they might alter the main website, do you think the incoming LCR portal for all the clerking and membership resources, do you think that's part of this? No. If you go to that, it still looks like some backwards church website from 4 years ago, as far as
that's what kills me. Style. Church, let's get on board with some design style guides and like actually put the whole properties together, make them all look.
You talk
the
about the fonts you use, the hex codes for various fonts, you keep it all together.
I'm sorry, hex codes for fonts, Jeff?
The colors, RGB. I love the way they describe it. So this is according to Jeff Isom. I wonder if, by chance, by the way, Jeff Isom, anybody if you know, is he married or related to Ali Isom, the famed church spokesperson who got into a lot of hot water during the ordained women stuff last summer? Isom's not a common is not a common last name.
I know a Scotty Isom.
Okay. Well, he's the director of LDS.org, and he says it's very nice. The changes are ones of evolution, not revolution. This means we will make regular small improvements to the site instead of less frequent large changes. So what he's talking about here, guys, is just sort of like, you know, optimizing the site as you go. This is a radical approach, friends. I read this article and I thought to myself, why hasn't this been done before?
Why?
Why has nobody decided to change a website as time goes on?
Well, we're visionary people. We see what others can.
We recognize that any change can be frustrating for regular users who have learned to find a resource in a certain
location.
All right,
don't dwell on this. We
However,
we
with a
on.
Site as large and complex,
this is too stupid for us
as
to
LDS.org, change is necessary. So check it out, guys. But the great thing is, you never know what you're going to get every time you go to the site. Who knows what splash screens you'll see? It'll be different every time you're there. It's going to be crazy.
I doubt that.
I hate you.
All right, you go one, Jeff.
No, you're upsetting me. Some quick but unfortunate news. We posted this last week. A mission president's wife passed away suddenly.
Wait, I didn't see
over this past week. This is sad. This happened out of nowhere. Carol Yvonne Curran, apologies if I mispronounced that, Hansen, who was the wife of Stephen W. Hansen, who was the mission president of the Salt Lake City Mission. She died unexpectedly. She collapsed in their home last Wednesday.
That'd be maybe the saddest thing ever.
And just passed away. President. Yeah, it's...
What happens? Does the mission president get released?
I hadn't even thought of that. I have no idea. But that is...
That stinks.
That's brutal. And I don't think it says... I mean, it says she collapsed. I don't see anything in the article that goes any deeper into that, you know, what it might be. But if she had a heart attack or an aneurysm or... I don't know. That's just... Death is always very difficult. Sudden death is worse, and especially when it's something like that, when someone just like collapses. It's not a car accident, just like it just happens. It's crazy. I mean, bless her for being devoted to some of the best work she could be devoted to up until the end, but that's rough, man. That's just terrible.
It's crazy. That Moochie's meatballs there in Salt Lake, that's what does it.
Really, Al?
Do not
Hey, that is a delicious sub sandwich.
I'm sure it's lovely, but
very
but,
filling.
But with all sincerity, I mean, like, thoughts, prayers with the Hansons, the entire mission, which I'm sure is reeling, all these missionaries. I mean, imagine losing your mission mom while you were out there. That would be...
No, that'd be devastating.
It's crazy, so...
I really do. I'm really curious what happens. You know what? Like, if you were a mission president, your wife passed away. What do you do? Like, first, like, how do you? I mean, you probably couldn't even continue functioning. I would just lay there in a pile.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine at all what he's going through. I mean, it's one thing to deal with the loss in general, then trying to figure out how you still,
if you
serve at all, like what you do.
Yeah. Well. So let's say you don't. You go home to this weird empty house.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, would that be healthy too? I don't know.
Yeah. Ugh. Let's see. Along the same lines, there's another missionary, a younger fellow, who died after a church activity. He collapsed in Mexico, and he just collapsed after a church activity.
Yeah. More collapsing.
Elder
Nathan McBride, 20 years old. He was in the Mexico Merida mission, so he's up in the Yucatan.
From Pasco, Washington.
And
dude, what?
Yeah.
On a positive note, though, it feels like we had a rash of missionary deaths for a while there, and this is the first one we've talked about in a while. But still,
it sucks. But I do agree. I was thinking the same thing back in going through 2013 or so. It seemed like we were having. It seemed like every week. For a little while there, we were hearing some kind of terrible news. This is very, very sad, and if any of you are acquainted with the Hansons or of this other elder, you know.
Elder McBride.
Sorry. Thanks. Our condolences. It's sad.
Yep.
It's very sad. Well, I'm gonna take it up somewhere where it's interesting, but where we will not be too frivolous after leaving what we've just been talking about.
I love this story, actually.
So, attending church by phone.
I feel like this should be an NPR segment.
This actually would be a very good NPR segment, wouldn't it? Oh, that's a great idea. Let's call NPR.
Do it, Jeff.
I can go do it.
You be NPR.
I am NPR.
You're Mr. Manager.
I'm Mr. Manager. Doesn't matter who.
Just Manager.
Now, many of you, I guarantee some of you listening, I know there's some of you who have lived in far-flung locales. But I've always heard of church being done on something like Skype, at least, where they webcast people, and I know they do this in China, where we're unofficially there, but they do stuff like this. We employ various interesting methods to get congregations to work. Remember just the other week we talked about the cluster, for example. Remember the clusters in Africa?
Yeah.
Another cool method. So here in rural Alaska, the Rur-Jur, the members of the Alaska Bush Branch, so which is about 200 members from 36 families, and they meet Sunday mornings... basically via conference call. That's it. No, it's no webcam or anything. They've got a room in a chapel in Anchorage sort of dedicated to them, and they have a president, a branch president, who presides over it, and they have speakers, and it takes about 5 hours to do it all because they do all the different – because you've only got the one line. So when you have to break for your different meetings, you can't do Priesthood and Relief Society concurrently. So they do an hour of Priesthood, and they'll do another call for the Relief Society. And I think it's just awesome. I love seeing the lengths we will go to ensure that people have the opportunity to worship on the Sabbath.
And you're saying they still dress up.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I think a lot of
their Sunday best.
Yeah.
You treat it just like church, and then you go and sit on a call, and then they do their roll call. This one guy that they're talking to says you got one from Manakore, Tokarana.
What's interesting here is it says one of the folks talking about this says we pray and partake of the sacrament, the bread and the water. So I'm curious how the sacrament works then, if they do it this way. Who is doing the sacrament? Do they have special when they're praying over the phone? Does that qualify as blessing whichever bread is present in individual homes? Like, I wouldn't think.
I doubt that.
So I wonder what they're doing then.
You probably just don't do sacrament. You just meet together.
So maybe they're full of it?
I'm sorry?
How are they actually doing sacrament? If they're saying we partake of the sacrament together, so how are they doing that?
Jeff, dial in this Sunday. Dial in and find out.
And the comments ask the same thing. Two comments. One just says, cool, but how do you partake of the sacrament by telephone? Another one says, you can only partake of the sacrament if you have a worthy priesthood holder at your geographic location.
There's nothing in the scriptures that say they have to be at your geographic location.
That's true. But like you just said, Al asked if the bread and water could be blessed via the phone, and what was in front of you was considered sacrament appropriate then, but you said no.
I said, I don't know.
I don't know.
You should dial in, Jeff. Make this an investigative
journey. I don't see where the number is. It doesn't say visitors welcome in this article.
Yes, it does. Anyone interested in
calling?
Oh,
I see it. 866.
866-640-3173.
Well, don't troll them, but I'm fascinated. I would love to sit in on their sacrament. I wonder if they'll get more people calling in this Sunday. It'll be just like when you're traveling and you visit some random branch and they get really pumped up that you and your friends have doubled its size. They wonder if you're going to stay. It all happens.
But this one, everybody's a little bit ticked off because roll call takes like 10 hours now.
Oh, I want to do roll call. And I'll say, where are you calling from? I'll be like, Virginia. Don't you have a ward there? No.
Hey.
They kick me out.
Hey, long time fan, first time caller. this is Al. How are you? Sleepless in Seattle here. Let's see. So BYU Idaho, this is news. BYU Idaho gets a new president.
Kim B. Clark finally resign and take the money? Did he take the money
first,
and run?
BYU Idaho is not closing down due to bankruptcy and poor management, which I had thought for years that they wouldn't make it to the next day.
Al, do you think the former president of Harvard Business School is going to mismanage BYU Idaho? Come on.
When I feel like he'd manage it like Mitt Romney, where that campaign only existed because of his own personal fortune. Kim Clark was writing his own checks for this thing.
Okay.
Once he leaves, no one's going to be able to keep them on payroll. Let's be honest.
So you think he paid for the I-Ring Center is what you're saying?
That's, yes, absolutely. And I think Hal was in on it.
Okay.
I think Sack and Fox Casino was probably a big contributor as well, just to keep those Mormons off their
what
backs.
Sack and Fox Casino?
Say, what's going to make you go away, I-Ring? And he said, a building in my name. So Kim Clark is released, the former dean of Harvard Business School.
Okay.
Is it a calling or an appointment?
I believe it's an appointment. Well, it's a job. So it's an appointment. It's a job. It's, you know, it's.
I would quit that all day. I'll be honest. If they called me and said, we want to offer you the job, you quit being the dean of Harvard and come take this appointment in BYU, Idaho. It's a town called Rexburg that no one cares about.
They have
about.
A Jack in the Box. You're going to love it.
Then I feel like I would be like, is Jesus telling me to do this? And if he said, no, this is an appointment, not a calling, I would say, no, thank you. I'm in Harvard.
It's a job, but I think you're sort of called to it. Like, that's why, I mean, yeah, he's at Harvard, but he didn't say no. I mean, you are.
I'm just saying, I would say no. I feel like I would say no. Well, I'd be like, look, Henry Eyring, brother, elder, president, I got a thing going here. It's called Harvard.
It's interesting you say that, Al, actually. Have you looked at the home teaching message for January?
No.
You should.
What does it say?
It tells the wonderful story of how President Monson, by the way, I never heard this story before, so if President Monson has actually busted out a new story on us at this point, I'm blown away. Kudos to you, sir. That's amazing. I've never heard this one. He was in the Navy during the war. He decided he wanted to do some ROTC stuff and be a commissioned officer in the event he had to go back to war and not just be a scrub. And so it's sort of how he was doing stuff on Monday nights, his training, his rigorous stuff. He eventually got accepted as a commission into the Navy Reserve. He was really pumped about it. And then they called him to the bishopric. And the bishopric met.
Oh, yeah. No, I did read this.
And the bishopric met on Monday nights.
And he stayed because he was in the
because
bishopric.
Because Elder Harold B. Lee told him to, like, quit the military and say, this isn't for you. So, and it required a lot of faith, and he was bummed out. So I could see some parallels there. I mean, you could be Kim B. Clark, happily doing your thing at Harvard. Then the call comes. They want you to take on the challenge of BYU. And do you say no, or do you trust? Do you follow the prophet, as President Monson suggests?
I would follow God's plan for me.
And so now like it appears that Clark B. Gilbert, not to be confused with Kim B. Clark, Kim B. Clark Gilbert, who is the CEO of Deseret News and Deseret Digital Media, so you can blame him for the fact that you get National Edition Deseret News in your ensign when you didn't ask for it. He will now be the president of BYU Idaho. And he used to work there before.
He looks like a handsome man with a very tight-lipped smile.
Well, he might be uptight.
I mean, I like him, though. And I feel like he'd be a good poker buddy.
Anyone called to live in Rexburg is inevitably going to have, you know, relaxation issues. things along those lines, because they don't allow it up there. They don't. It's very strict.
So Gilbert, he was on the faculty at the Harvard Business School, where he taught entrepreneurial management.
Yes.
And published path-breaking research on the disruptive impact of digital technology on the newspaper industry.
So basically, we know he's the one who created Deseret Connect and ruined everything for everyone.
He earned a doctorate in business administration from Harvard and a master's degree from Stanford and a bachelor's degree from BYU. I feel like if you've got to go to BYU, those are the two capstones to put on it, Stanford and then Harvard.
Question, is it worth it to get a doctorate in business administration?
When you want to make a third of the salary you're entitled to and work at a university in Idaho, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
That's all I want.
Anyway,
so
good work, Brother
Gilbert. He will be taking the reins on April 13th. He also created a lot of stuff when he was at BYU-Idaho before, actually. He created the Pathway program, or he had a big role in that, online education. So he's kind of coming home.
No. He did not create the Pathway program. That was President Clinton.
I'm sorry, I read that incorrectly. That makes more sense, because Pathway is new. I thought this might be like a pre-legacy.
No, Jeff.
I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. So maybe Clark G. Gilbert will now bring you, what would they call BYU-Idaho's newspaper? Well, I mean, what's their, do they even have a mascot there? Isn't their mascot something stupid?
Yeah, no, it's the
potato.
Digger.
It's the potato.
It's the digger.
No, it's Thor the Viking. What's that all about?
The potato digger.
How is Thor the Viking your mascot, BYU-Idaho? I mean, I know you could just as well say, what's a seasider or a cougar for that matter, but why Thor the Viking?
A seasider, one who lives by the
seashore.
I mean, that's perfect for BYU.
The cougars,
a cougar
they have mountain
from the
lines.
Mountains. Yeah, absolutely.
So is
a Viking.
The strong Nordic heritage of eastern Idaho?
I don't know.
If this were BYU Minneapolis, perhaps then.
Oh, yeah, the Vikings. I love
I'd
that.
I'd be down with that. All right.
All right. Jeff, I want to hear you talk about civil rights leaders.
Well, this is actually over here at LDS.net, the website that came out of nowhere, and I can't figure it out. And by the way, I've tried to trace who actually owns it or runs it. Nothing. I've got no information on these people.
It's a ghost town.
I'm serious. But this is cool. This is a cool piece, actually. So 10 amazing Mormon civil rights leaders you need to know. And it just goes through 10 famous Mormons who did great things for civil rights. So you got Paula Hawkins, who fought for victims of child and sexual abuse.
Paul Hawkins.
Eldridge Cleaver fought for African Americans. Howard W. Cannon, of course, passed the Civil Rights Act.
George Cannon.
Albert Duncan provided homes for Jewish refugees. Martha Hughes Cannon supported women's suffrage. Harry Reid pushed through women's equal pay rights.
This is Papa Reid or current?
The Reid. The Reid. Then you got George Romney, of course, who marched in the civil rights protests. Larry Echo Hawk has helped Native Americans become self-sufficient, sort of. Julia Mavimbela helped end apartheid. Joseph Smith stood up for abolition and religious freedom. And last but not least, of course, Leonid Brezhnev, famous for his support of civil rights.
Who?
Leonid Brezhnev.
Brezhnev?
I'm joking, Al. I was trying to pull a Soviet Union joke on you. See if you got it.
Who is that?
Brezhnev. He was the premier of the Soviet. Never mind.
I don't know Brezhnev.
Who's Utant? He's the second secretary. Never mind. Other than that, other quick ones here, folks. Mormon of the Year was voted upon. The votes were, of course, summarily ignored by one Kent Larson over at Times and Seasons.
It's such a weird runoff. Please, everybody, give us page views, and then we don't care.
Well, I think they take it into consideration, but then they...
What does that mean, you take it into consideration? Either the vote matters or it doesn't.
It's like voting in Russia. You know, they think about it. They say,
I guess,
they say this
people.
Is nice. We see your voice. We're still going to go with Vladimir. We think he's the right choice.
Good luck.
Sorry, Kent. We have just equated Times and Seasons to fascist Russia. Congratulations on this wonderful achievement. But so they announced their Mormon of the Year, and it's actually the authors of the LDS Gospel Topics essays. This reminded me of the old 2006 Time issue of Person of the Year when the winner was
you.
Because YouTube got big that year. That was the biggest cop-out ever. Oh, my goodness. But so I'll give it to him. The gospel topics essays have been a big deal. So
no, that was great. But you can like that's not a Mormon of the year. That's a Mormon thing that was great. That's not a Mormon though.
Well,
that,
many Mormons plural can win it. Al,
more man? No, you don't give that award. Stop it, Kent.
Al, you and I were up for one as two individuals, as Jeff and Al.
Yeah, men. Jeff and Al is fine. Committee, unnamed committee, not okay.
I believe their anonymity is their greatest achievement. That's our tribute to them.
They're hiding behind their pretty little essays.
Obviously, of course, Kate Kelly was the far and away biggest vote getter, but they chose not to go with her in the end for reasons unknown. They said they would still back it, even though she was, you know, excommunicated. But who knows?
But they took the onslaught of votes into consideration,
and they said,
as they are apt to do,
and they said, your votes are worth about, you know, one in every three, maybe? Poll tax?
they gave it a factor.
Is there a poll tax? Is that what they're doing? I don't know what's going on here.
Anyway, people.
On speaking of more voting, Al doesn't want to talk about it, but I am over at the sort of prominent blog, Wheat and Tares. They're doing all sorts of votes on their
2015. Anytime you introduce a place with a... over at the sort of prominent.
I don't want to give them too much credit because their website needs a refresh, but it's fine. They do good stuff.
Jeff, GeoCities... just made it easy to build a website, though. That's why you build them.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So anyway, they've got, but this is great. It's not Mormon of the Year. It's a bunch of categories for 2014, including best.
They have worst Mormon thing of the year. They have bizarre categories.
But they also have best podcast, of which we are a nominee. Of course, it says this week on Mormons, which was wrong. Everyone let us connect there and have them feel our wrath, because that is not the name of our show.
Leave a comment.
We're up for best podcast, and then the last category, best Twitter stake news in one place. It's us against the Mormon News Report, and I think you know which one is superior, everyone.
Yeah. We have tens of thousands of listeners. They have none.
Literally. Have you seen our analytics in the past week, Al? It is
unreal. Anyway, people, you can always reach us. Contact at thisweekinmormons.com or go to thisweekinmormons.com and leave a comment. We've been enjoying the conversation.
And likewise, I've been enjoying the conversation on the social media. Facebook friends, you guys are doing a great job on there. Great interaction. Love hearing from you on there, as well as on Twitter. And the other outlets, of course, you can find Instagram and blah, 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 blah. Please leave us a review on iTunes and help boost our rankings and visibility. That would also be helpful. Give the gift of TWIM.
Give the gift.
Well, Al, I hope that you keep the spirit with you in everything you do.
All right. You too, Jeff. See you, buddy.
Goodbye. I am going to go figure out how to express my religious freedom.
Go fix your toilet.
They don't know about that. They don't know about that. All right, everybody. Have a good week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.